and the Holy Spirit exists. And you can come to church believing that and feel that you're okay. But there's a problem with that, that if that's all the level of the belief, then I found a commentary and it gives a real good description of this situation. It says, intellectually persuaded but spiritually uncommitted.
Yeah.
I'll read that again. Intellectually persuaded but spiritually uncommitted. That means the head accepts it, accepts Jesus was real, that Jesus came and died, accept that. But you see, when you look in the Word of God, that isn't enough. That isn't enough. You see, when you look at the word faith, now in terms of the word faith, I think we're still, the world's still pretty much online with that. And if you look in the world's dictionary, they talk about complete trust or confidence in something, which is what we are. The Bible talks about faith with us being persuaded and become reliant upon what we believe. Now that makes a big difference, because we're moving from God being something distant that we believe to us being involved. It becomes personal. And this Easter, there'll be a lot of people that will acknowledge Jesus, acknowledge him existing, acknowledging what he's done, even acknowledging that he's the Son of God. But when it comes to that step for it to become personal, they don't go there. It stays as an intellectual acceptance. There's something stopping. It's almost like they're looking at something on a screen that they're not part of. Now, we are very much in audience culture these days, but they're looking at something that they can see on the screen that they feel is real, but somehow they're separated out from it. You see, that's not what God wants. God never wanted us to be stood on one side watching it. God wants us to be personally involved with him. And this is what Easter's all about. But the hub of Easter is that Jesus became personally involved with us, with you and with me. I was dead and condemned until Jesus bought my freedom. And it's not something I could have earned. It's not something I could have got any other way. If you look in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Grace means it's nothing to do with me. Grace means somebody else has done it. I've been brought into that grace. But it's through faith. It's through my persuaded reliance upon Jesus to have done what he said he's done. So Easter to the world means something, but to you and me, it means everything. It means we've moved from a position of death to a position of life. You see, it goes on to say, it's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now, when we stood at a distance looking at it all, we haven't accepted it. We acknowledge it's real in some way, but we haven't accepted it. We're not involved with it. Excuse me. John 3:16 talks about believing. One of the most famous passages of Scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. This word believe, again, unless we really understand what that word believe means, we stood at something that we're looking at a distance. Yeah. Well, I was just coming to this because if you look in the Amplified Bible, it adds something. It says to have faith. It uses the word faith. It says believes by faith, with faith, that will not perish but we'll have eternal life because of what Jesus has done. Now, this day in the year may not have been the real day in the year when it all happened, but it's the one that the nation established for us to acknowledge that today is the day when we say, yes, we remember, we're there, because we are involved. Now, no matter where you are in your walk of faith, if you've come from that distance to get involved with Jesus, however tentatively, like a little child trying to walk sort of thing, you are still personally involved. You've got to that personal involvement with Jesus. Something has changed. See, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. We've got to come in faith. This is the only way that we can come to Jesus. We have to trust and believe that he is. He says, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. And it's not just a mental agreement or a mental acceptance. Your whole being has to accept that he is who he is. And it says that he's a rewarder of those that seek him. And if you're coming to Jesus, if you're looking for Jesus, and you want Jesus in your life, then he's going to reward you. And he's going to reward you with his acceptance. He's going to reward you with his gift of grace that brings you into a new life. A new life altogether. You still might have the same frame and everything, but something changes within you that will never be the same again. Even if you walk away from it, there's something will be in your spirit that will never let you go. You always know. It says in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 17, it says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That Jesus is going to come into you and he's going to live with you because you're personally involved with him and he's personally involved with you. This is why no matter what you're doing or where you're going or how you're feeling, Jesus is involved. Because you've stepped into that environment where Jesus wants to be involved. God wants to be involved with you. He wants to know how you feel. He wants you to reach out for his nature so that you take his nature into your life, and it'll make you feel different because your whole intentions change, your whole outlook changes. You know, we look at like the estate around here. Loads and loads of families and individuals with problems, with difficulties, with good things as well. You know, it's not all stress and strain, but they have nobody to turn to. It's as if they're their own God. And they make their own decisions, and they're trying to do their own thing in their own way. And sometimes they get it right, sometimes they won't. But when you come to Jesus, you've got someone to come to make your decisions. You've got someone to help you to decide the things you cannot decide, and to make the right judgment on things. You know, we have personalities. You've got your own unique personality. There's nobody like you. There's certainly nobody like me. So you carry your personality with you. And often it's within your personality that the decisions come. And they're not always good decisions. My personality does not always produce good decisions. But I know that when I come to Jesus and I start searching Him for what to do, to how to feel, to how to think, then something starts to change. And this is what Jesus is trying to draw us into. When He set Himself up to follow through what the Father wanted Him to do, He got you and me in mind. The God of all creation had you and me in mind when He went through all He went through, because He knew that when we were created with a free will. You know, I was looking recently at the different countries that are on the watch list for a difficult time, at the very least, a difficult time for believers. And it talks about Islam, and it's by compulsion. They have to be Islamic by compulsion, without a choice. They cannot leave it, they cannot change to something else. They've even made laws and capital punishments to stop them doing that. You see, my God says, you have a free will. I have done this for you, that you might come to me. It is your free will that brings you to me. This is why across the world there will be believers within the Islamic areas and other faith areas, but people will not be aware of them because they have to do it in secret. But you see, it's love that draws you to Jesus. It's not compulsion, not force, it's not fear. Because there is no other God whose name is love. There's no creator other than God whose name is love. You can imagine a God being called power or something like that, or fear. You're also always subject to, but no, God is love. And Jesus came in the fulfillment of that love to release you into total involvement with Him. And no matter what you're doing and where you're going, whether you're at work, whether you're at home, whether you're sick or whether you're well, Jesus is there with you. He says, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. I'll never go away. You're in Luke chapter 50. The woman who touched Jesus, He says to her, Jesus said to her, do not be afraid any longer. Only believe. Told the woman, only believe. And she'd reached out and touched Jesus. She'd reached out and touched His garment, because she knew. She knew as soon as she touched Him, she was going to be well. That's that's taking things to another level, but we're heading that way. I don't know whether you're familiar with the parable of the sower. You'll find it just about in all the Gospels, but in Luke chapter 8 and verse 5, you'll find it in there. And the sower is planting seed. The seed is the word of God, and he's planting it into people. But he's using the sower as the analogy. And it says that some of the seed fell beside the road. Some fell on rocky soil, and some fell among thorns, and some fell onto good ground. And wherever the seed fell, it had a potential. But in all but the last one, something happened to rob that seed of life. When it fell beside the road, he says, the devil took the word away. He took the seed away, robbed her. When it fell on the rocky soil, he says, they received it with joy, but they had no foundation, they had no root. So temptation and the persecution that they went through robbed them of God's word. When it fell among thorns, well, you can imagine seeds falling among thorns. It's got to be a difficult place, and it tells us that the cares and the pleasures of this world choke the word. All the things that were going off in the lives took precedence over the word that was sown into them. But it said that some fell on good ground. The interesting thing about when it talks about it falling on good ground, it uses some words that aren't used in the other sections. It talks about honest, genuine, and perseverance. When it goes into good ground, the seed has to germinate. It has to have the right environment. And it has to have the right environment of the heart. It has to have the honesty and the genuineness of the person. It has to have perseverance, because without perseverance, we have the same ending as the other things. It's lost, the word is lost. So we have to persevere. So when God comes in and he starts getting involved with us, and we start getting involved with him, with the good ground that God is tilling, God is preparing the ground, and he's causing the seed to grow within us. But it needs us to respond. When we're going about our lives, we need to be actively involved with him. Because, like I keep saying, you have to have this personal relationship, the personal response. Because Jesus is not here for a little sprint and then that's it. Jesus is coming for the long haul. And we, you know, I'm 71 now. Some of you are about 20 perhaps or so. There's a big span of age differences. But Jesus knows the length of our lives. He knows the journey that we're taking. He knows the problems we're going to meet. He knows the difficulties. He knows the desires of our heart. He knows everything that's going on and going to go on. And he says, if I'm involved with you, then I can sort things out in you, through you, with you, so that your journey is straight. Your journey is upright. Your journey is victorious. We often look at happiness as being the thing that we need, when actually it's joy that we need. course, happiness is subject to circumstances. Joy is something that's deep within, that can be more powerful than the circumstances. There's an interesting verse in Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Now, in the King James Version, it says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." The strange thing is, on the more up-to-date, and including my New American Standard, it says "believe in." Now, I think "believe on" is a tremendous way of putting things, because it's like saying "rely on." You don't say "rely in," you say "rely on." Means that you're relying on something or someone. When it says here, on the original King James Version, it says "believe on," I believe it means lean on, believe on. You're putting yourself on to God, onto Him. Another thing is, when we're really getting involved with Jesus, God doesn't change. It says His word, He never changes. From beginning to end, He never changes. But something happens when we come to Him. We have to change. We have to change. And one of the most straightforward verses you'll find to tell you this is Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And it's a powerful scripture. First of all, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world." Don't be conformed to its ways. Don't be conformed to its ideology, its moral values. Do not be conformed to it. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." We have to renew our mind, because our minds are full of stinking thinking, and that's what drags us down so often. You had a thought come into your mind, you think, "Where did that come from?" And you're trying to kick it out, and sometimes it's difficult to kick it out. But it says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Now, that word "transformed," some of you will know this, that word "transformed" is metamorpho. You know, metamorphosis is when a caterpillar goes into a chrysalis and comes out as a butterfly. That is metamorphosis. That is the contrasting change. It says, "Be transformed, be completely changed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is." Now, this is another thing where you look at the Amplified and there's a little bit added on that one. It says, "That you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is." Are you proving to yourself what the will of God is? Are you letting God transform your thinking? It says, "That which is good and acceptable and perfect." God's going to take you to a good place. He's going to take each one of us to a good place. He wants us to win. In this journey of life, God wants us to win. And He's not going to necessarily give us shortcuts. We have to go through difficult things in this walk that we're on. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it can be very difficult. Sometimes we can feel like getting up and running away, or sometimes we feel just like sitting down and giving up. But God says, "I'm with you. I'm not going to leave you, I'm not going to forsake you." But you know, when we get on this journey, he's told us that there are things for us on this journey to claim. We can believe Jesus, God and the Holy Spirit for specifics. We can get hold of him in such a way that he's going to pour into our lives what we need. Now sometimes we'll tend to ask for what we want, which isn't necessarily a good thing, but the more we get into line with his nature, the more we will learn to ask for the right things. See, it talks about the faith of a mustard seed. It says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, and you shall say, and it shall. You shall say, and it shall. That's a potential. There, going back to the Amplified again, he says, if you have faith that is living. Have you got a living faith? Have I got a living faith? Something that now in this time, with all the pressures that go the other way, you know, you might be living in a place, a situation, a workplace, a school, a home, where everybody else is going the other way. You're the only one that's swimming upstream, and everybody else is flowing downstream with all the rubbish. But you've decided you're going to go upstream. Well, this faith that's living inside you, that might only be the size of a mustard seed, has the potential to become a mighty tree. And Jesus is going to lead you and show you how it works. Because it is a learning experience. Another encouraging scripture in Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do it. I can do it. You know, there's so much in the world that turns around and says, you can't do it. You can't do it. No chance. Well, I left secondary school. I had no qualifications. I wasn't even in the top stream. So, even to work in an office, didn't apply. You don't. You'll get some sort of manual job or something like that. I ended up working in an office. I ended up doing things I never even envisaged. And there was a lot of struggles along the way. A lot of times when I would have wanted to give up or to go and do something else. But you see, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the time I wanted to give up is the time that Jesus steps in and encourages. And he might use others to do it. He might use others to encourage you, to stick in there, to stay with it. But you see, if you do stick in there, then journey through where Jesus is telling you, even though it's difficult. When you come out the other side, you're in a lot better place than you would have been had you gone your own direction, your own way. Another scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. For I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able. Are you convinced he's able? Are you convinced that he's able? You know, you might be struggling with that one. Perhaps your experience is not... You've sort of not had enough personal things happen to you that suggest, oh yeah, he can. And he can take me where I didn't know I were able to go, and he can sort things out for me, and he can do this for me, he can do that for me. Well, perhaps if you're early on in your journey, you perhaps haven't got those experiences yet. But the scripture is there for your encouragement. You know who you've believed. Now be convinced that he's able. is able to keep you, is able to lead you, is able to protect you, is able to deliver you. If you go on to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, he says, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. And to him who knocks, it shall be opened. This is Jesus wanting to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you. We're often feeling so condemned in our lives. There's so much fear-mongering done within society that we can live our lives in fear. It's been on the news this week about the young people around, even like Sheffield and places like that, they're carrying knives for protection. That's no way to live, because that's going to lead to something awful. If they came to Jesus, they wouldn't need to carry knives, because their faith would protect them. They'd strengthen from within. You know, one of the things that we do sometimes, and we ask God for things that aren't good for us, and perhaps we don't know at the time, and we ask and we don't receive. Well, James chapter 4 verse 3 tells us that. It says, you ask and do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives. Now often, we don't know the outcome of what we're asking for. And if God sees that the outcome of what we're asking for is not good, then a loving God is not going to give you what's going to hurt you. So there's times when we need to think very carefully what we're asking God for. God wants us to have. God does not want us to be without. But the first thing that comes is our personal walk with Him. Through all the difficulties, through all the triumphs, we walk with Him. So we believe, we start believing Jesus for specifics. You know, He can do, He may do, He could do things for me, things for my family, things for the people that I'm trying to help. Jesus wants us to be specific in our requests. Sometimes we can pray and it's so widespread and global, it's difficult for it to have any effect. But you know, you'll see that one person that has a particular need, and you'll pray into that situation, and you start praying, believing. Then we start seeing things happen. Jesus starts to work. And it might not be in a way that you are asking. If you were praying for someone and asking God to help them, you think you would have the wisdom to know what the best help is for that person? One thing I found when I was working in Sheffield was that you got quite a few people begging on the street, and what they wanted was money. And I was torn, my conscience was torn there. Do I give them money or don't I? And I had this a lot. Because when we got started with Teen Challenge, it said, never give them money, because money, they choose where that goes. If you want to help them, possibly buy some food or take them for a hot drink or something like that, it says do not give them money. And that helped me a lot. But the thing was that I thought I might be helping them if I give them some money, but I wouldn't be. I would be enabling them to buy more drugs, to buy more drink or whatever. So our wisdom isn't always the best wisdom, but God's wisdom is. He knows the situation. He knows the ones that you perhaps are praying for. He knows where they're coming from. He knows the journey that they're on. He knows exactly what they need. There's some promises that Jesus brought, because that woman that touched Jesus' cloak, she went knowing what was going to happen. I find this very difficult to grasp, actually, because she knew as soon as she touched the cloak of Jesus, she would be whole. She knew that she knew that she knew. This is a realm further. This goes beyond believing that God can do, may do, could do. This takes us into the realm of God will do. That is really getting into strong territory. In John chapter 14 and verse 12, it says, "He who believes in me," that's in Jesus, "the works that I do, he shall do also." Do you believe you can do what Jesus did? It says, "And greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." The fascinating thing about this is he says it twice. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. He says it in verse 13 and verse 14. He says it twice. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. That my name is a bit of a difficult one to grasp sometimes. We think of a name as being a label attached to somebody. It means if you ask anything in the person of Jesus, then I'll do it. You have to ask, we have to be in the person of Jesus. And to do that, you have to have a personal involvement with Jesus. I say this is really going, reaching for specifics in a very definite way. The centurion who wanted Jesus to heal, in Matthew 8:13, Jesus says to him, "Let it be done to you as you have believed." So if you go into specifics and the will do, that God will do, your belief has to be there. Your faith has to be there. Because that's when it happens. When your faith coincides with God's desire for you, then it'll happen. Matthew 9:21. The woman that touched Jesus' garment, she says, "If only I took his garment, I shall get well," or "I shall be saved," or "I shall be made whole," depending on which version you read in. But the thing was that it says, I shall, it will happen. So we've really come on a journey. We've looked at people who give some verbal assent to believing. Oh, God is real, Jesus is real. Yeah, he died on the cross, yes, and that's as far as it goes. And we've reached through to where Jesus and you are so personally connected and involved that now we can go for specifics. We can reach into this, God, you can do this. And if you reach far enough, if you've got the strength of faith to do it, you can reach and say, God, you will do this. That is really, it's like on a dartboard, it's in the bowl. You know, that is the mighty thing. And it might not be very often that we get to that position. If at all, if we can get to that point where the relationship is so perfect that we can do that. Some of these men of God that have come through history must have got into that realm. They must have reached into that. There's Smith Wigglesworth and others. They must have touched that area of faith and been able to say, it will. You will be healed in the name of Jesus. And wow. And it's happened. But the thing to do today, it's Easter. It's the risen, ascended, glorified day today. Get involved with Jesus. Get involved with Jesus. Don't wait for the next bank holiday. Don't wait for Christmas when the anniversaries come round again. Get involved now. In your day-to-day walk with Jesus, get involved. Let Jesus know what you're thinking, what you're feeling. You know, you might not tell Jesus what you're thinking and feeling, but he knows anyway. But I'm sure he'd love you to say to him how you're feeling and where you want to go. And the realm of faith is such an adventure. You know, we think we walk in ordinary lives like everybody else. But we have something wonderful and unique in our lives that if only they knew, if only they could sense and experience that. But often they close themselves off. Perhaps they're in complete unbelief, or perhaps they just give it some mental acceptance and leave it there. But it would be wonderful if they could dive in. Dive in and see what God has really got for us. What God has got for you in your life. I don't know what position you're in your life at the moment and what the pressures are, what the desires are, hopes and fears are. But he does. And if you start talking to him and let him get involved with you and you get involved with him, then he'll take you on the journey the best way that you could ever go. Amen.